As we turn to God's Word, let's pray first. And Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the reminder of your grace and the infinite sacrifice of Jesus for our sins, so that we can be reconciled and have a good and loving relationship with you again. Thank you, Father, for Christ Jesus, our Lord, who's alive right now, sitting at your right hand. And we pray, Father, that you open our hearts and minds to your word right now. And we hold on to the promise that your word, as it goes out, will not return empty, but would accomplish your will, your desire in each of our lives. Thank you, Father, and praise in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Luke chapter 18. Familiar passage, verses 15 to 17. It's a short passage. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. This is God's Word. Now they were bringing even infants to him, that's Jesus, that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called to him, saying, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." This is God's word for us today. In full disclosure, originally I had another passage prepared to speak on today. And then last Sunday afternoon, I think, or around noon time, I was sitting at Harvester Presbyterian Church because I was there to speak over there. I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, it seemed like God was telling me, he says, "Pick something else." So I know I'm starting to sound charismatic, right? So when I went home, I said, okay, I'll pick something else, even though that would cause a lot of stress in my life. I picked it anyway. And this is the passage that came up when I was looking through Scripture. So I went all in with this passage, and then last night I was looking at it again, reviewing it, and I was like, I wonder why. But I'm sure God has His reasons. God has His reasons. Now, in this passage, you see parents bring their kids to Jesus. And all of you know, I'm a father too. And as a father, I want what is best for my kids. I want what's best for them. And oftentimes, I want my kids to experience and see amazing things that I didn't get to see or experience when I was a kid. You know, growing up, I'm like, wow, you know, it would be great if I experienced or saw this when I was a child. And I thought, yeah, you know, when I get kids, this is part of my plan, right? So I want them to be able to see and experience things that I thought were great and good and very positive, that will benefit them. And then when I was on staff here, I treated those under my care that way too. I wanted the people the people here back then to be able to experience and see things and see amazing things all related to God's kingdom, right? Spiritual things that are amazing. And one of those things actually is Majnik. And I'm very pleased that people see the value of that nowadays. It wasn't always the case. But I'm sure when the teens come back later this afternoon, they'll testify that, yeah, it's a great time there. And I think Elder Jay, somehow he created this group in, was it WhatsApp or something? Or WeChat? WeChat, yeah. And he's like sending videos and stuff. I'm like, wow, I didn't think of that. I thought that was kind of cool. And he had all these pictures so some of the parents can see, right? And that's how it's supposed to be in the church and in families for those as parents or people in leadership in the church, right? To want what is best for those under their care, under their authority. And that's what we see happening here in this passage with parents bringing their kids to Jesus. And you read right at the first verse there in 15 that even some of the kids were babies, infants that parents brought to Jesus. Because parents, they saw the value of Jesus blessing their children. The parents saw value. And you got to ask yourself, did the kids see value in this? I mean, as an infant, maybe not. Right? And our text doesn't explicitly show Jesus blessing these kids. It just says they wanted Jesus to touch them, you know, to bless them like that. So implied that Jesus did, but in parallel accounts in other gospels here in our scriptures, Jesus did bless these children. He did place his hands upon them. And in one of the gospels, I can't recall off the top of my head right now, he just says he, as the parents brought the babies to him, he actually took the babies and held the babies in his arms. As he blessed them. Right? Amazing. Jesus being willing to carry these little babies. And here's the part that might blow some of your minds. It blew my mind. One of my seminary professors even suggested that this blessing that Jesus gave to these children, brought to them, was salvific. Anyone, you guys know what that word means? I know Preston knows. He said, you know, he thought that this blessing that Jesus gave these children was salvific, meaning that as Jesus blessed these children, he literally gave them eternal life at that moment. Doesn't that blow your mind? These babies come to him, he blesses them. Live. You know, spiritually dead babies coming to life right in his arms. Imagine if you were a mom and dad and you saw your little baby receiving eternal life in Jesus' very hands. Right? Incredible picture when you think about it. Beautiful picture. But then you got Jesus' disciples. They're like downers. They're yelling at these parents. They're yelling at these parents. Get them off! Get away! Right? Imagine if the elders of this church told your parents not to bring you to church because God's too busy for you. He's too busy for you. You know, no, don't come here. You know, church is for important people. God's too busy. He only has time for the important people, the big people. What if the elders did that? We won't have a church much longer. It just sounds wrong, right? And that's how wrong it was for the disciples here to tell the parents to get lost. Jesus is too busy. You know, God is not like that. Jesus is not like that. So what did Jesus do? He told the parents to bring the children to me. Let the children come to me. Don't hinder them. Don't stop these kids from coming to him. And then he says something really incredible. He says, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. To such belong the kingdom of God. God's kingdom belongs to even little babies. And many of you know that I my day job is with Child Evangelism Fellowship, and or CEF. And you might know that in CEF, we oftentimes refer to this passage in Luke chapter 18. It's a very popular passage in CEF because we refer to it a lot of times to support the fact that even little children can be saved. Children can believe and have eternal life. But why I want to point out to you something that's more covenantal today. In Acts chapter 2, at the end of Peter, the Apostle Peter's first sermon, Peter said to the people, he says, "For the promise is for you," that the promise of salvation is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, and everyone whom the Lord calls to himself. That's what Peter said in God's word. So parents who believe in Jesus and are part of God's kingdom, there's a promise for you and for your children. And in Luke 18 here, we see that promise explicitly from Jesus himself. Because Jesus here is telling parents to bring their kids to Jesus. Because the kingdom belongs to these children of these moms and dads. So for those who are parents here, and for those of you who are not, I got something to say for you too, but explicitly for parents, don't lose heart. Bring your kids to Jesus. And what characterizes these children brought to Jesus? Well, you could say that they're from babies, infants, to preteens. Right? And like I asked before, you know, you think these children know how important Jesus is? Or the value of Jesus blessing them? I don't think so. I still remember my mom bringing me to Sunday school. I think I was 7 years old. Bringing me to Sunday school in the church in Chinatown of Chicago. And as a good parent, she brought me really early. There was no one there, not even the teacher. And this might sound bad, but then she left me there myself. You don't see that happening nowadays. You know, Child Protection Services will get involved. But she left me there. But right before she was leaving, I said, "Mommy, where are you going?" She said, "Don't worry, he's going to protect you." And she pointed at this picture on the wall of Jesus. I had no clue who he is. I'm like, "Who is this guy? I don't know who he is." You know, white guy with a beard, blonde hair, you know, one of those really old school pictures of Jesus, drawings of Jesus. I said, "I don't know." Right? She said, "He's going to protect me." I'm like, "What?" So I didn't know the value of meeting Jesus as a little kid. And I don't think these kids know either. The kids that are being saved by Jesus, being blessed by Jesus. And for those parents who have young kids, you know this. And for those brothers and sisters who had younger brothers and sisters, you would know this too, I would think. Remember Christmas Day? The little baby or the little toddler, what did they play with? Did they play with the toy that you gave them? No, they played with the box. And then, you know what? Any of you know what I'm talking about? The kid play with a box. You gave them this toy. They open it. Wow, what a cool box! And they just keep playing with the box. But you know the real fun or the real value is in the toy, right? But the little kid play with the box. I mean, it's cute. You know, as a father, I looked at my kids do that. Like every single one of them did that, and I'm like, oh yeah. You know, I spent all that money on that, and I could have just took some cardboard and made a box and saved even more money. Yeah. But that also extends to all areas of life. Parents, you see something good and you want it for your kids, and maybe your kids might resist. Maybe they're ambivalent. Oh, who cares? Meh. Or maybe you got those rare children, they follow obediently and trustingly. But whatever the case, know this, that when you bring your children to Jesus, it's your act of worship. It's your act of worship as you bring your children to Jesus. And why is it an act of worship? You are glorifying God when you bring your kids to Jesus. And let's say today, if a parent brings their little kids to the service here, I've been there before, I've done that, and as a father, it's hard to focus. I can't focus on what Pastor Tim is saying, because my little baby, well, he wasn't here when I had little babies, right? But just let's say, for sake of argument, for illustration, I won't be able to focus, because my baby doesn't know what to do. He or she doesn't realize the value of coming to Jesus, doesn't know the value of worshiping Jesus. But as a father, I do. So I'll be sitting in the back there at the very last row, and I'm trying to parent. I'm trying to be a parent to my little kid, my little baby in the back row. Trying to help my child, my infant, see the value of worshiping Jesus. Helping my baby to worship Jesus in the childlike way. Right? So even if I cannot focus on the pastor in front talking, guess what? Your parenting in the pew there is your act of worship. And you're worshiping in this service by doing that. So don't give up. Stick with it. That doesn't mean that children's worship in other places, you know, like downstairs, is wrong. But if you want to bring your child here, and hope I'm not causing any trouble for you. I have a bunch of little babies crying in the back. It's not wrong to have children here. To teach them to worship. It's not wrong. And here's where some context comes in handy. Because if you have your Bibles, you look at the beginning of chapter 18. There are a couple of parables right before this account of Jesus rebuking his disciples. These two parables, the first parable, and they seem like unrelated, but they're actually very related to what Jesus is talking about the babies here. The first parable is about being persistent in praying. Jesus says in that parable, at the end of that parable, and will not God give justice to his elect, the people he has chosen, who cry to him day and night. Will God delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, we find faith on earth. So I'm talking about prayer, praying persistently. Don't give up in prayer. And the next parable is about the Pharisee and the tax collector, right? It teaches you to come humbly to God in prayer. The proud and self-righteous Pharisee was not justified after praying in the temple, but the sleazy yet repentant tax collector, was justified in praying after praying in the temple. And now we come to our text, verse 15 in chapter 18 of Luke. And guess what? The parents here, they're doing exactly what Jesus taught in those two parables. How are they praying persistently to God? They're trying, they're pushing their way through the disciples who are trying to keep them from coming to Jesus. And they're asking persistently to Jesus, bless my baby. How can you get more direct prayer to God than that? Because Jesus is God, and they're coming to God face to face saying, bless my baby. And they came humbly too, because when disciples yelled at them to get lost, they retreated. They were humble. Just like the sleazy tax collector was humble, repentant. He said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know Jesus was too busy for my child. Go away, go away. Right? Go away. I mean, when you think about it, Jesus was teaching all that. I mean, no wonder why, you know, excuse my language, no wonder why Jesus was so pissed. He was. I mean, you don't see it here, but actually you look at Mark chapter 10, Jesus was pissed. He was pissed off as disciples. These are the guys that are supposed to be following him and learning from him. And he just got done teaching them. You got to pray to God persistently. You got to come humbly. And they've got parents coming. Praying to him, God, Jesus, and coming humbly. And his disciples didn't get it. And he told the parents to get lost. And this was their act of worship, actually. Bringing their child. I mean, Pastor Tim was preaching in 1 Samuel, right? Remember what the mom did? Brought baby? Well, actually, he wasn't a baby yet. I mean, he's still a little toddler. He was weaning, as the Bible says. But brought her child to God. It was her act of worship. The parents bringing the kids to Jesus was their act of worship. And these guys were preventing the parents from worshiping him. And they're preventing kids from coming to him. Right? But it's part of your worship. Now, one of the reasons why I think we do have a separate children's worship service, and it's been told this to me before, is that from time to time, people would say little kids in the back, even though they're sitting in the back, can be distracting. Right? It's not just the mom and dad parenting in the pew that has a hard time focusing on what's happening up front here. Because they're trying to get their little child to focus on what's happening in front. But I guess the sounds may be distracting other people too. But have you considered, maybe that's what the disciples of Jesus back then were thinking too. Maybe they want these kids to go away so that they can focus on Jesus. That sounds familiar. And yet Jesus says, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. For to such belongs the kingdom of God. Yeah. A lot of times in today's society, and even back then in ancient times, the younger a person is, the less important they are. And I think, I mean, some of you who know Roman history and culture, back ancient culture better than I do, might correct me if I'm wrong. But I think even in Roman times, like in Jesus' days, babies weren't even considered like humans to some degree. So it's okay to leave your baby out there to die if you don't want the kid. That sounds really cruel. Yeah, but people did that. You know, they go out to the outskirts of town so they don't have to hear the baby cry. And they leave them there. And they die of exposure, as they say. Right? So the younger the child, the less important. I mean, I mean, for today, we don't do that, but we may have the same view of children that they're not as important as big people, because what can they do? What can a little kid do? They're cute, right? I think they're cute. Yeah, they're cute. They make cute sounds unless they're crying. And then when they cry, you can say they're distracting. And what about toddlers? Same thing. They might start talking and saying stuff, right? I mean, maybe at inappropriate times too. Yeah. Oh, but maybe when you're a teenager, then maybe you can prove yourself that you are important. You can do stuff, right? You can prove your worth as a teenager. That's what some people may say. But listen to this. Jesus puts incredible value and worth in kids. He says they belong to God's kingdom. So for all you young people there, you belong to God's kingdom. And it's assumed that everyone wants to get into God's kingdom, because the ones who see the value in going to God's kingdom. And that's one of the reasons why disciples are following Jesus, because they want to be in God's kingdom. They want to be in Jesus' inner circle. Elsewhere, the Apostle Peter says, "Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life." That's a key aspect of God's kingdom. True life. True life. And Jesus says, this eternal life, this true life in John chapter 17, this true life is knowing the Father. The Heavenly Father. That's the main thing about true life, knowing the Heavenly Father. And the God of the universe, who created all things, and he didn't just create everything, he holds everything together. Without his power holding everything together, all the laws of physics or science, whatever you want to call it, it'll all fizzle away. But God the Father holds everything together. And he, through Jesus Christ, says the kingdom belongs to these children. Which means that God himself wants to have a relationship with little kids. Everyone here. That's how valuable and important kids are. Even babies. To God Almighty. And that's how important you, particularly the young people here, how important you are to Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus' disciples told these kids and the parents to go away. They're yelling at the parents because they're taking up Jesus' valuable time, because Jesus had more important people to meet, more important people to talk to, like the disciples. At least that's what they thought. But what I want to say is, don't take God's desire to be with you, for you to be in his kingdom, for granted. Don't take it for granted. It sounds like so easy now. And just because it's offered to you freely, to everyone, it doesn't make it cheap. You know, this offer of salvation, forgiveness of your sins, reconciliation to God, God offers to you through Jesus Christ himself. Which I like to put it this way. When you have eternal life, you get to have God. If I could put it respectfully and honorably that way. You get to have God. And God gets to have you. Just think that. Think about that. You get to have God. You know, when I married Joyce, I thought, cool, I get to have Joyce. And Joyce gets to have me. But with God and Jesus Christ, you get to have God. And God gets to have you. It's very simple. Entering the kingdom of God is so simple, even a little kid can do it. Because Jesus says at the end there, our text, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And it's so simple that adults have a hard time entering the kingdom of God. And guess what? Studies and statistics show, some of you have heard me say this before, that most people enter the kingdom of God between the ages of 4 and 14. Most people enter the kingdom of God ages 4 and 14. And some studies place that number at 80%. Amazing, right? 80% of people come to faith in Christ between the ages of 4 and 14. And every Sunday, even just a few minutes ago, Pastor Tim gave an invitation to trust in Jesus. So how many of you who haven't trusted in Jesus yet will take Pastor Tim's offer of salvation today? How many of you on the fence will trust in Jesus today? Like he said and outlined earlier, you acknowledge your sin, acknowledge your belief in Jesus, who is God, who died for your sins and alive right now. You ask God for forgiveness and mercy. And if you do this, what will God do? He'll welcome you as a citizen of heaven, a citizen of His kingdom. He'll welcome you into His family because He gets to have you and you get to have God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know that I am not a godly man and that none of us here are worthy. And like babies, we can't even seek you on our own. We even want to seek you on our own. But we're here today because of you, Heavenly Father. We're here. You drew us here to worship you. You brought us here this afternoon. And Heavenly Father, we seek your blessing. We seek more of your presence in our lives. We seek your kingdom. And we thank you that because of Jesus, we're part of your kingdom. We're part of your family. I pray, Father, that you work in our hearts to fan in the flames this desire for you, turning each one of us, your children, into a bright light to guide others who are tired and weary searchers into your kingdom. And it's all for your glory, Heavenly Father. We pray, Father, for your name to be glorified and praised because you are holy and good and wonderful and true. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.